If you would be so kind, turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, God has led me to the book, the two books of Peter this year. He told me that he wanted me to preach at least a book a year. And this year he has led me to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And you'll find 1 Peter right before 2 Peter. If you'd be so kind to stand for the reading of the word. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 1. If you have it, say agape. Agape. Hear ye the word of the Lord. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. It's the word of the Lord, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You may be seated. We want to use as a subject this morning, preparing for trying times. Preparing for trying times. Preparing for trying times. Saints of God, we are experiencing a mighty move of God like never before at Agape Christian Church. Amen. 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 Individually, members are experiencing God like never before. As a congregation, we are experiencing God like never before. We're watching God work. Watching God work. However, I would be remiss if I didn't give you the whole counsel of God. Amen, amen. And here it is, here it is. Anytime God begins to show himself mighty, anytime God prepares to do something great, we have an enemy who hates everything that God is doing, everything that he sees God at work, and all the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders that God is performing in the life of his people. We have an enemy who gets busy and he gets on the attack, and he's going to come at us. He is going to come at us with everything that he has. Are y'all hearing me this morning? But greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But however, I want us to be prepared for these attacks. Not only that, as we get closer to the return of Christ, as I talked about last week, you ain't seen nothing yet. You know, we've seen God do all these great things, but you still ain't seen nothing yet, because Jesus Christ will one day rule and reign as king of this earth. He'll rule and reign as king of this earth. But before that happens, there will be 7 years tribulation. 7 years tribulation. 3.5 years, the Antichrist is at work. Those first 3.5 years. But those last 3.5 years, all hell is going to break loose. All hell is going to break loose. And the blessing for us is that we're in Jesus Christ. In other words, we're out of here. Those of us that are in Jesus Christ. But there will be 7 years tribulation prior to Jesus Christ establishing his earthly millennial reign for 1,000 years. 1,000 years. But before that, all hell is going to break loose. And hear me. Peter has written these letters to saints on the verge of being persecuted at a whole nother level. They accepted Jesus Christ. They've accepted Jesus Christ, and persecution broke out. Nero, who was the emperor of Rome at this particular time, persecuted the Christians so much so that they were scattered. They were scattered. And let me just say this. Here's how it all began. During that time, you had the religious leaders, the Jews, the religious leaders of the Jews conspired to try to overthrow the Roman government. And they called themselves doing a revolution against the government. And what eventually happened is that Nero destroyed all of them. Destroyed all of them. And the temple was destroyed. Rome, part of Rome was devastated by fires. It was chaos during this time. And it all started when religion and politics got together. Are y'all hearing me this morning? God gave me a revelation this week. Do you not know religion and politics killed Jesus? Are y'all hearing me this morning? I didn't plan on saying it, but the Spirit of God wants me to share this with y'all. The religious leaders went to Pilate and they said, look, you need to kill him. Pilate said, wait a minute, what do I have to do with this? Isn't he a Jew? You take care of him. And what eventually happened, Pilate finally gave in. Pilate says, I wash my hands of this man's innocent blood. And eventually what happened? You had religion and politics that killed Jesus. Are y'all hearing me this morning? You got to be so careful nowadays because you have religious people who are lining up in politics, and this thing is getting messy and it's getting mixed up, and all of a sudden you're hearing the name Christian being thrown out there. Christian being thrown out there. And what's going to eventually happen is the world is going to turn on the Christian. On the Christian. And the question is, will you stand? Will you still stand as a Christian? As a Christian. When persecution breaks out, will you be able to stand or will you deny him? And it starts right now. It starts right now. And we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. God has given all of these visions to us. And the people of God, see, now is not the time to get scared, afraid. No. Our redemption draws nigh. Our redemption draws nigh. And anytime there's persecution, you may as well start getting ready because God is going to do something greater. And it was through persecution that the gospel went forward. And eventually, you know, y'all come on, let's be real about it. Christians have gotten quite comfortable in the times in which we live. Christians are comfortable. I mean, everything's got to be served this way in church. Why don't we have this? And why don't we have that? And we need to have this color chair. And we've got to have this color choir robe. And we've got to have this color uniform. All of those things. Can I tell y'all something? When persecution break out, you're not going to be concerned about what color chair that is. No. But these things are happening and we need to be prepared. Prepared. And God has given us a passage of scripture to be prepared for this because here it is. See, you can talk about any name. You can talk about Buddha. You can talk about Muhammad. You can say all of that and everybody is okay. But when you start talking about Jesus, all things change. Mention Jesus' name. And all of a sudden, people become fearful because you mention the name Jesus. Because you mention the name Jesus. There's something about that. And here's the difference. Because Jesus said in John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So anytime we say that we are Christians and we follow Christ, what we're telling the world is that there's only one way. And listen, y'all, we are fastly approaching this world system of one world religion. People saying all roads lead to heaven. Well, if I follow Jesus, Jesus said there's only one way. And he's it. There's no other way. There's no other way. And so when you have this narrow-minded mindset, that sets you apart. Sets us apart. Because I'm thinking one way, there's only one way to heaven, and it's Jesus. The world don't want to hear that. The world don't want to hear that nowadays. They don't want to hear that nowadays, but that's who we are. If you name the name of Jesus. But are you prepared to stand on that testimony? When pressure's on, when your life is dependent on it, are you willing to stand on that testimony of being a Christian? And I want to give us information that prepares us for it based on this word. Amen? So here it is. Number one, Number one, living in the flesh will cause us to fail when trials and tough times come. Living in the flesh, say flesh, will cause us to fail, say fail, when trials and tough times come. Now, y'all say, where is that at in the text? Let me show you. Look at the first word right there, Peter. Some of y'all just caught that. Let me help y'all out this morning. Y'all, come on, wake up, wake up. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. If you know anything about the life of Peter, who better to tell you about standing under pressure than Peter? I mean, when you really think about it, let's look at Peter's life. Peter in Matthew chapter 16. Y'all remember the story? Jesus went to his disciples and he asked them a question. He said, who do men say that I am? And some said John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. Others say one of the prophets. And then Jesus flipped it and he pointed at them. He said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter, y'all know Peter. Peter's going to step out the boat. Peter's going to speak up. Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is Peter. Peter, and Jesus looked at him. He said, Pete, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed that to you. And he said, from now on, you will no longer be called Simon, son of Jonah. From now on, your name will be Peter, which means rock. Means rock. And so can now you imagine? Here Peter, and then he says, and not only that, I'll give you the keys to heaven, keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind shall be bound, and whatsoever you loose shall be loose. He's giving Peter keys to the kingdom. The rock now has keys to the kingdom. Can you imagine how proud Pete must have been at that time? Can you imagine? We're talking about Peter the rock. Peter the rock. But if you keep on reading the rest of the chapter in Matthew 16, you'll discover that Jesus began talking about going to Jerusalem, being crucified of the chief priests and the elders, and being killed on a cross. And he's sharing this with his disciples, and here goes the rock. Peter the rock. The Bible says that he pulled Jesus aside. Now this is Peter. Can you imagine? He said, now Jesus, come here. Come here, Jesus. The Bible says he pulled him aside and he says, listen, it ain't going down like that. I'm paraphrasing. He tells Jesus it's not going down like that. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus looked at Pete and he says, get thee behind me, Satan. You're not concerned about the things of God, but the things of men. Peter's flesh got in the way. And see, when the pressure came, he went into his flesh. We're talking about Peter. The scripture says Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Not only that, we know that this same Peter, when they were in the middle of a storm, saw Jesus walking on the water. And he said, Master, bid me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. Peter got out the boat. Peter's walking on water, and he's looking at Jesus. But all of a sudden, this same Peter, the rock, begins looking at the wind, and he began looking at the waves and the sea, and he got afraid, and he began to sink. He went from being in the spirit, walking on water, being in the spirit, and all of a sudden, he's sinking because he's taking his eyes off Jesus. Listen, when turbulent time comes, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't trust in your flesh. Can't trust in your flesh. I'm going to tell you one more story about Peter. In Matthew 26, Jesus about to go into the Garden of Gethsemane, told his disciples, he said, look, I need you all to pray with me. Pray with me. It's about to get ugly right now. And Peter, he said, look, because of me, all 12 of y'all are going to forsake me. Said, all 12 of y'all are going to forsake me. Here go Pete, the rock. He said, look, if everybody left you, Jesus, you can count on me. I'm going to be there. But if you keep reading the rest of the chapter, you find out not only did all 11 go, Pete was right there with them. He bailed out when the pressure was on. And Jesus told him in verse 41 of Matthew 26, he says, listen, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. And saints of God, hear me. You cannot rely on your flesh when turbulent times come. As a matter of fact, many of us have made a whole bunch of mess being in the flesh when times got hard. If somebody challenged you a certain way, instead of you allowing the Spirit of God to have his way, that flesh rose up. Don't get quiet on. Don't y'all. Don't. Stop that. You've been tested in your life. You've been tested in your walk with God. You've been tested in your faith in Jesus Christ. And a storm came and your flesh got the best of you. Amen. I know I'm not by my flesh gets me. My flesh gets me every now and then. Amen. Can we be real in here? No, ain't nobody perfect. We're not perfect. But we've got the Spirit of God in us. But if we don't keep it in check, that flesh will get you every time. Oh, somebody know what I'm talking about this morning. The flesh will get you every time. But when it comes to doing understanding the trials and tribulation and the pressures of life come down, you cannot trust your flesh. Do not trust your flesh. Peter, out of all people, he can tell us something about standing strong. But here's what I love about the story. You know Jesus restored him? Y'all know Jesus restored him? Jesus restored him. If you read the Gospel of John, Jesus caught them out while they were fishing. See, they had already gone back to doing what they were accustomed to doing. They thought all hope was lost. Peter denied him three times. That's another failure. He said, I won't deny you. Three times. He said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you would have denied me three times. Oh, no, Jesus, not me. I'm the rock. Three times. Not only did he start cussing. Bible said he started cussing. I don't know what those words were, but they were cuss words. I don't know him. The rooster crows. But the loving, kind, forgiving Jesus restored Peter. He asked him the question, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you agape me? Peter says, Lord, you know I phileo you. In other words, I have a tender love for you. Jesus says, feed my sheep. Ask them a second time, Peter, do you agape me? Peter, Lord, I phileo you. Jesus asked him a third time, and then Jesus switched it on him. Jesus says, Peter, do you phileo me? Peter says, yes, Lord, I phileo you. You know what Peter learned? Peter learned humility. He learned humility. Before, he would speak out. Now he's saying, you know what? I'm not going to even say that, Lord. This is humble. This is humility. God, I realize, Jesus, that anytime I operate in my flesh, I fail. Now, I want you to understand I can't do it without you, is what he was telling Jesus. It's what he was telling Jesus. You know what happened? He restored him. This scripture says Peter, the apostle. He's now an apostle. You know what apostle is? One who is sent by God with the new word, the new revelation. And God used Peter. He used Peter to advance the gospel to the Gentile world. It starts with humility. Humility, humility. Don't trust your flesh when perilous times come. We've got to trust God and not be caught up in the flesh. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, take heed lest ye fall. Take heed lest ye fall. But he was restored. And God will restore you. Even though we fail in our flesh, he still restores us. He still restores. Listen. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Number two. This is big. Number two. Remembering that we are foreigners in a distant land helps to endure trying times. Remembering that we are what? Foreigners in a distant land helps to endure trying times. Look what the scripture said. It says, to those who reside as aliens scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Aliens, alien. An alien is a foreigner, a person born in another country, one who is not entitled to the rights of citizenship in that particular country. And here these Christians are, because of naming the name of Jesus, they find themselves scattered into other nations. And now they're foreigners. They're not citizens of those nations where they've been scattered. And you and I have to understand that we are foreigners in this world. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Listen. This is not our home. It's not our home. And you've got to understand that if you're going to endure perilous times. Peter wanted them to understand that. He said, now you are alien. Yes, you're an alien according to man's standard, but you're also an alien, spiritually speaking. And see, the best news that you can have is to realize that this is just temporary. This isn't my permanent address. Ooh, y'all not hearing me this morning. This is not my permanent resident. I am a pilgrim. I am an alien. I am a foreigner. This world is not my home. This world is not my home. Listen. See, the people of God have gotten so comfortable. People thinking that this is it. People think this is it. This is as good as it gets. That's a lot of folks' mindset. That's why people do what they do. Say, look, and you're right. If this is as good as it gets for you, you may as well live it up. If this is as good as it gets. But I know this is nothing compared to what I have in store for me. I'm a foreigner. You know, that song, God Bless America, My Home, Sweet Home. I know that's nice and all of that. That's good. But I struggle with that, y'all. I'm just being honest. I struggle with saying that because I know this is just not my home. No, this is not my home. No. Do y'all hear me this morning? Yeah, and that's fine. You can be patriotic and sing, and that's good. That's good. And we are a blessed nation. We are. But this is not my home. This is not my home. And every now, you know, when you've been away for a long time, when you've been away from home a long time, you yearn to get back home. You yearn to get back home. You yearn to get back home. And see, here's the crazy thing about it. See, back at your home, you already know what's there, and you've kind of experienced it already. But the home I'm talking about, we kind of know what's there, but we ain't experienced that yet. We haven't experienced that yet. And I get homesick when I begin looking at all the things that are taking place in this world. You know, we're not citizens of this world. You're not. No. And that's the question you got to answer for yourself. Do you feel like a foreigner in this land? Or do you feel like a homeboy or a homegirl in this world? I feel like I don't belong here. You ought to feel like that every now and then, that you don't belong in this world. You know, there's something wrong if you feel all right, like you don't want to go nowhere. There's a serious problem. That's a serious problem. Are y'all hearing me this morning? That is a serious problem if you don't want to leave. I want to see Jesus. I've said it before. You know, God has blessed me. Beautiful wife. We're celebrating 23 years today. 23 years today. Hallelujah. 23 years. God is good. 23 years. And he's blessed me with three beautiful girls. Beautiful girls. And I want to see all three of my girls. I want to see them all. One has finished college. I want to see the other two finish college. I'd love to see them finish college. I'd love to see them get married. I'd love to have grandbabies and all that good stuff. I want to see all of those things. But those things will not come before me seeing my Jesus. I'm telling y'all. I mean, I love them to death. And I pray that I get a chance to see all of that. But if Jesus says I'm ready to come, I ain't gonna say wait. I mean that. And we ought to have that mindset. We're foreigners. And see, when you're going through stuff, you got to remind yourself that I'm a foreigner. This is just temporary. I'll get through this. As a matter of fact, there's something better for me on the other side. That's why it's important. Listen, Hebrews 11, 13 says it like this. It says all these people. Now, Hebrews 11 is about the saints of faith. This is the hall of faith. Hebrews 11, 13 says all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. Now, these are saints of God who were persecuted. They faced intense persecution, and yet they saw the promise that was ahead of them, and they realized that, you know what? I've got something else waiting for me. I'm not part of this world system. I'm not caught up in this world system. I've got something waiting on me, and they saw it. They saw it ahead. You got to be able to see that thing ahead. I'm looking forward to being in glory with Jesus Christ. That's how they were able to overcome. That's how they were able to overcome. And knowing this, we're not citizens of this earth. We're citizens of heaven. That's the question. Do you have your citizenship in heaven? Is your name on the roll? That's what counts. Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I like that. Y'all see that? Y'all see that passage, Ephesians 2:19. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Part of God's family now. Part of God's family now. What a blessing. And Romans 8 said it like this. Paul says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is revealed to us. That will be revealed to us. Paul said, the stuff that I'm dealing with right now, let me read it in the Message version. I want you to hear it. He says, that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The hard times right now, they don't compare with the good times that are coming sooner or later. This is the mindset that we've got to have. It's not even worthy to be compared with what's out there in front of me. And we've got to keep in mind that we're just pilgrims. We're just pilgrims journeying through this barren land. Amen. Number three, regardless of how hard our trials may be, we must never forget that we have been chosen by God. Never forget that you have been chosen by God. I don't care how hot that fire gets. I don't care how much pressure is given from the enemy. We can never forget that we have been chosen by God. Chosen by God. It's critically important. Look at the scripture. It says, you who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Never forget, hear me, saints of God, never forget that you've been chosen by God. That changes the game. You not know that changes the game? I'm going to show you all in scripture, but that changes the game. When I know that I've been chosen by God, that makes everything all right, no matter what happens in my life. It really doesn't matter. I've already been chosen by God. And it says the foreknowledge of God. God chose us in him before the foundations of the world. God, as a matter of fact, God chose us to go through what we're going through. Whatever that trial is, think about Job. He said, God told Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? That's what he said. He said, yeah, but you got this hedge of protection around him. You got him all fenced in. Move the fence and let's see what Job do. God said, all right, got a deal. He said, you can do anything you want with him, but you can't mess with his soul. So God chose Job. He chose Job. And you got a lock in your head. No matter what's going on, God has chosen you for whatever it is that you're dealing with. Whatever you're dealing with, don't ever forget that. And as a matter of fact, instead of having that negative disposition, you ought to say, well, God, thank you that you counted me worthy to go through what I need to go through. Help me, God, to be faithful as I go through this. Because at the end of the day, Job had one hell of a day. But at the end of the day, Job worshiped God. You read the passage. Job worshiped God, but Job realized he had been chosen. Chosen. But I really want to show y'all. I need everybody to turn to Romans chapter 8. Don't ever forget that you've been chosen by God. All this passage of scripture, y'all, this passage of scripture, I told y'all to turn. Let me start turning. I'm excited right now. Don't ever forget Romans chapter 8. I want to show y'all something right out of the text. Here's why you can't forget that you've already been chosen by God. Are y'all there? Say agape. At verse 26, look what it says. It says, and in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints, those who have been chosen according to the will of God. Now, as one reason right there that you don't have to worry. See, you can get caught up in a situation, in a trial or a turbulent time. You get caught up in that, and you don't even have the words to say. You don't even have the right words to pray. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God will begin interceding for you in the midst of your trial with groanings that you can't even get out. And the Spirit is taking what's on the inside of you, what you're trying to say, and he's taking that and he's giving it to the Father on your behalf. On your behalf, because you've been what? Chosen. Don't ever forget that. But look, let me keep reading. Verse 28. Verse 28 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who have been called according to his purpose. See, when you've been chosen, this verse right here, this Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that what? All things work together for good. All things mean what? All things. Whatever your trial is, whatever you're dealing with, God is still working it for your good. Now look at the rest of the passage. I'm not done. Look at verse 29. It says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Look what the writer says. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Verse 33, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Verse 35, I like that. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? Yet just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Oh, verse 37. But in all these things, we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. You got to remember, don't ever forget that you've been chosen by God. Verse 38, he says, listen, for I am persuaded. I am convinced. I'm absolutely certain that life nor death nor angels, principalities, things present, things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. Listen, because I've been chosen, it don't matter what come my way, God is working this thing out for my good. Saints of God, when you're going through, don't you ever forget that you've been chosen by God. You've been chosen by God, chosen by God, chosen by God. That's how you make it through. God, you picked me for this. If you pick me for it, you're going to keep me in it. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. It's critically important that you remember that. Number four, Spirit-filled living makes us spiritually fit for trying times. Spirit-filled living makes us spiritually fit for trying times. Spirit-filled makes us fit spiritually. Look what the scripture says. It says, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. There it is. There it is. Sanctifying work of the Spirit that you may obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. Spirit-filled living makes us spiritually fit for trying times. Listen, in order for you and I to endure trying times, we have to live spirit-filled lives. Hear me this morning. You've got to live a spirit-filled life if you're going to get through difficult times. Difficult times, he says, sanctifying work of the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit having his way in our lives, he's sanctifying us, he's setting us apart, and he's making us more and more like Jesus Christ. And there should be a process. There ought to be a progress in our spiritual journey. And it leads to obedience to Christ. That's what the scripture says. See, the Holy Spirit will never lead you to disobey Jesus. The Holy Spirit will never lead us to disobey the word of God. No. If it's not in the word, the Spirit is not in that. Spirit is not in that. And so we should be becoming more like Jesus Christ. Let me break it all the way down. He says with the sprinkling of blood, the sprinkling of blood. Blood was symbolic of covenant. It was covenant. We're part of the new covenant. Jesus Christ shed his blood to sprinkle the blood. Anytime that there was blood, there was an agreement between two people. And blood sealed the deal. Blood sealed the deal. Are y'all hearing me? Blood sealed the deal. And so now that we've been sealed and we've been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus Christ, there ought to be some obedience following that sprinkling, because we're now in a covenant with Jesus. In other words, you can't do what you want to do anymore. Let me break this thing all the way. I want y'all to really get this. See, it's just like this. It's just like this. If you're an athlete, you play sports. You play football. You play basketball. You run track or whatever. If you're not working out when the competition comes, it's very likely that you're not going to win that competition. Some people think they can turn on and turn it off. It doesn't always work that way. You got to work out, Aaron. Am I right, Aaron? You got to work out. You just can't go out there and run. You're going to run 100 yards. And you ain't been working out. You know, some teams think that they can just turn it on when they want to turn it on. And see, some Christians think they can turn it on when they want to turn it on. Can I tell you something? See, and again, you run in track, you run 100-yard dash, you haven't been training. It's the Olympics. These are the best in the world, and it's the Olympics, and you hadn't trained in 4 years. You won the last one, but you ain't trained in 4 years, and you're going to go out there and try to compete with these guys that's been working out and training all this time. You're going to go out there and get your butt ran right off the track. Yeah. Yeah. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Well, I'm going to turn it on when I get to the Olympics. No. And you know what? Christians sometimes think they can just turn it on when the heat is on. No. Sometimes, no. You try to turn on all you want. Satan gonna have his way with you if you hadn't been walking this thing out all alone. Working out spiritually all alone so that when the trying times come, you're prepared for it. You're spiritually fit. But the problem is so many are spiritually unfit. And they fail. We fail when we're not working out spiritually. And we have to live in the Spirit of God. We got to be obedient to the Word of God all the time. And we can't pick and choose what scriptures we like. Amen. No. See, and that's the thing with this prosperity teaching, all this wealth and wealth and all this other stuff. See, it didn't make the church unhealthy. And so many Christians, because when the blessings are coming, when all of this blessings and all this favor is coming, if a trial come or if the well run dry, they act like God don't exist. That's spiritually unfit. And see, don't get it twisted. Don't ever get to thinking that just because you got money and just because you got a nice job and you got a nice career and you got all this stuff that you spiritually fit. No. I know people. They got all that stuff and they're wrecked. Their lives are wrecked. Let something tragic come in their life and they fall to pieces. See, they have no spiritual foundation. They're not spiritually fit. We need to be spiritually fit. So when that trial comes, you're ready to handle it. But you got to work out now. Now is the time to be working out. You can't wait till the trial comes. Can't wait till the trial. The Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Into the wilderness. He gave him the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the Bible says Satan left him alone. Paul and Silas found themselves locked up in jail. They didn't wait till they got there to start praising God. They didn't wait till they got there to start worshiping God. They didn't wait till they got there to continue to walk in the Spirit. They were already ready. They were already right. That's how they had a jailhouse rock. Turn the jailhouse upside down. Because they were ready. They were ready, and you and I need to be ready. We got to work out now. You can't wait till the trial comes and then try to pull it together. No. If you got it together, the trial can come, and you'll be able to stand because you've been walking this thing out all along. So the Bible says, walk in the Spirit so that you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. And we've got to be Spirit-filled saints in the times in which we live. There's no time for us to be caught up in our flesh. We cannot win this battle in the flesh. The only way we're going to be more than conquerors, the only way we're going to overcome is that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us and we're being obedient and we understand that we're in a covenant. I cannot live like the world. Cannot live like the world. Listen, we've got to be ready for these things. Finally, we must seek favor. We must seek favor and felicity from God during our trials. Favor and felicity. I had all F's, so I had to come up with another F. Felicity, that's peace, joy, it's gladness. So we need to seek. We need to seek favor and felicity from God during our trials. Look at the scripture. Paul closed that out back in the passage. He closed it out. He says, may grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. Ooh-wee. Listen, if we're going to overcome, if we're going to endure during the hard times, if we're going to endure during persecution and tribulation, we're going to need God's grace and God's peace. Ooh. Are y'all with me this morning? We must ask God to give us grace and peace during those turbulent times, during these turbulent times. God, I need your grace. You know what the word grace means? The word grace means favor. It means favor. We've got to learn to seek God and say, God, I need a favor. I am going through right now. God, I need a favor from you. I need your favor, God. Not only do I need your favor, well, let me just put it like this. When you get God's favor, you get God's peace. Are y'all with me? When you get God's favor, you get God's peace. Listen. In Acts chapter 12, Peter found himself in Herod's jail. Herod had Peter and James arrested. He had beheaded James, and Peter was next. And Peter found himself in this jail, awaiting execution the next day. But the scripture says, when you read it, that Peter was sound asleep. Peter was fast asleep. The saints were praying for Peter. They were praying for God's favor and God's peace. And here Peter is asleep the night before he's going to get executed. Are y'all hearing me this morning? I'm talking about God's grace and peace during turbulent times. The Bible said Peter was sleeping so hard that when the angel came to get him, the angel had to, wake up. See, he was knocked out sleep. And the angel struck him. The Bible said the angel struck Peter so that he would be awakened. Peter was sound asleep the night before he was about to be persecuted. I'm talking about God's grace and peace during turbulent times. Y'all are looking at me strange, but I got a couple of more that I want to share with you all. See, when Moses and the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, they needed a favor from God, and they needed God's peace. The people were topsy-turvy. The people were going crazy. Moses, you done brought us out from Egypt, way out here into this ocean for Pharaoh and his army to kill us. We could have died in Egypt if we were going to die. And they needed peace during that time. God told Moses, raise your staff. And Moses raised his staff. Moses had favor and Moses had peace. And Moses raised his staff so that the waters parted and dry land appeared. And God's children walk through on dry land. I'm talking about grace and peace this morning. Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel found himself in the lion's den because he refused to bow down to the king. And Daniel found himself being persecuted in the lion's den. And the Bible says that Daniel was in that den with the lions all night long. But the king woke up early in the morning and says, Daniel, is the God you serve, has he delivered you? And Daniel says, oh, king, hey, oh, king, my God shut the mouths of the lion and kept his servant all night long. Daniel had God's grace and God's peace on his life. Daniel had three friends too. They called them the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they refused to bow down to the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had made. And Nebuchadnezzar says, now listen, boys, I like y'all a lot. I like you a lot. But if you don't fall down and worship the image that I've created, I'm going to throw you in a fiery furnace, and then we'll see if the God you serve is able to deliver you. But the three Hebrew boys says, Oh, King Nebi, it's not an easy thing for us to ask you in regards to this situation. King Nebi, can we tell you something about our God? King Nebi, our God is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, King Nebi. But King Nebi, you got to know something. Even if he don't deliver us from the fiery furnace, we not gonna bow down and worship you. So King Nebi decided, all right then, let's just see. And so he tosses these three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. And King Nebi is watching all of this stuff unfold. And King Nebi said, hold up. Wait a minute. I thought I threw three people in this fiery furnace, but I see somebody else in there that looks like the Son of God. And what I love about the story, y'all, they came out the fiery furnace, and the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. I'm talking about God's favor, and I'm talking about God's peace. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? When you're going through your trial, when you're going through your tribulation, say, God, I need a favor, and God, I need some peace right now. I don't know what it is that you might be going through today, but I dare you to say, God, right now, I need a favor. God, right now, I need your peace. And the God that I serve knows how to give you grace.